JG3.
Number 4A.
So we then have the term divine. This is the first impulse out of the level of science itself where it appears as a control hierarchy. Now, do we like the term divine, or how would we like absolute at that point? Or how would we like it to be called Christian at that point? It's all science. The level of science itself is science, divine science, absolute Christian science. It's all science, 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 science. But in its divine aspect, in its absolute Christian aspect, in its Christian aspect. Now, would we like Christian to be the first way science explains itself as it's coming out of itself? No. Why? Maybe not, Richard. All good. Okay, because there's a Christ activity before the Christian. It has to translate itself. Okay. That's good. Okay. And would you like Christ right out of the gate or as opposed to divine? Would you like it to say Christ science up there? You go for science itself and then to Christ science? Though you're sure what you're saying is good because it has to have its translation, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Well, we look up that term Christ, and we'll see it a little bit more when we come. It has more of an absolute tone to it. We'll come back to that. Is divine, do we like divine there? We'll come back to Christ. What does divine mean? All right, so divine means being of the nature or expression of deity. Out from, that's good. Janice says that it has that sense of, it pertains definitely to deity or God, as Louisa says, and Janice says it's out from, or as Webster says, it means proceeding from God. It's godlike. Webster says it's godlike, it's heavenly, it's excellence in its highest degree, it's extraordinary, apparently above what is human. And, yeah. All right. So it has a nice connotation. Excuse me.
But it needs to interpret itself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because when you have something, like you say, out of whack.
Yes.
You have to leave divine or science itself.
That's right.
When you get down to divine, this explains what doesn't fit into your consciousness.
Uh-huh. It's beginning. Yeah. Okay. Now, see, so Richard, what we see for tonality on this level, is it explaining what doesn't fit into our consciousness on this level? Eventually it does, doesn't it? Especially on on absolute Christian science, impact on Christian science. But on this level, the first impulse from science itself is... No, see, so we were just talking about the next step, aren't we? Because we want to build up logical dimensions so that through their law of translatability, how one thing takes on another form and another form and another form, yet still remaining the one thing. It's like a sculptor, Michelangelo, when he went to sculpt the David. Did he start with the little details and that there was a healing of the nation? He started with the whole view, and that's what St. John did too. I saw the city that came down from God out of heaven. He didn't, first of all, I said, I saw the healing of all nations and all the trees and all the details, did he? He first explains it very logically from the whole to its parts, yet still remains a whole. So Michelangelo would sculpt the David holistically. He'd start working the whole marble, the whole stone, working inward, not after a little fingernail to begin with, huh? All right, so he goes out from the whole. So he shows a whole view. What's the whole view that you get? You get divine. You get proceeding from God. Why is it excellence at its highest level? No talking about error, is it? On this level, error is an unknown, but it's excluded by virtue of what it is. It precludes it. doesn't it, Richard? Okay, so it precludes error at this particular level. It's just one little degree down. But what is different about it from the science itself level? What is it doing differently now in this, just this first impulse out that St. John showed us? Dave?
The infinite one has to, we don't understand the infinite one, so it's coming divine, it's his first step to come, first step towards the human.
Good.
But it's, you ask why it's different from the Christ. Well, the Christ is more specific.
Yeah, okay, it's a lot more specific. But we'll get to that in a moment. But let's just keep its comparison, though that's a very good point, we're going to get there. And it's like, well, we might touch on it right now, but let's just not look down a minute. Let's just stay at the relationship between science itself and divine science. So that's right. It's coming down. It's coming down in its highest excellence. What's it going to show us first? All the details? And he measured the walls thereof. What's it going to show us first? The realm sounds. It's going to show its big universe first, isn't it? It's proud. I made this big universe. Then I'm going to show you all the details in it, huh? Yeah, no, that whole statement, you can't see the forest for all the trees. It's not going to show us the trees yet, is it? It's going to show us a whole forest. It says, look at this big, I'm important. I created this whole big realm. And so that's very good, Charlie. So it shows that principle, first of all, shows its realm. And therefore, that realm we call the universe, isn't it? Turned into one. So first, the principle shows its idea in the singular, doesn't it? The universe and divine science is always principle explaining itself as a universe and in an ideational universe. And eternal truth is changing the universe, because we'll see when we get in our work with divine cosmology that against the universe are the same claims of birth, maturity, and death because of the way we look at it. That they say that the universe began, just like our own solar system, that the universe itself began, and the universe itself matures, and the universe itself grows old, and the universe itself someday may die. The universe. And that's looking at it from a dark glassly. It's looking at the original pattern and seeing a reverse constable. To us, we say, the universe can't die. Oh, yeah, we'll let the 89-year-old go on, poor dear thing. But we won't let the universe die. Nothing dies. Everything should not be death. Oh, I was talking about David. He kept running from Saul. It's apropos here. He never would kill Saul. Saul killed himself. He ran the sword through, and then David's friends came along and pushed it in a little further. And then what did David do to those who went in a little bit more? Say, okay, you know, you're gone. What did David say? He reprimanded them. And he said, you should never accept death. So anyhow, this whole sense then of death, of the universe, so it presents the universe first. And therefore, that universe is turned into one. And therefore, it's going to show that death and all of that is precluded and excluded just by nature of what it is as the universe. And any claims against the universe that it was born as matter or lives as matter and grows old as matter, dies out as matter, is going to be handled through the absolute Christian science and Christian science level, isn't it? So on this first impulse, it's divine, it's excellent only, it's seeing it only as an ideational universe on divine science. No claim against the universe comes. Everything is excluded by nature of why. What makes everything excluded as an inharmonious universe on this level? What is the tonality of this level that shuts everything out, would we say? What did St. John give us as the tonality of this level? He saw then a new heaven and a new earth. And what was the symbolism for this new heaven and new earth? What from science itself, principle creates its idea. Its idea is the universe. And St. John says, and that universe does what? Operates how? Does John indicate how it operates? Foursquare. It's a universe that lieth four square on divine science. It operates as a closed system, doesn't it? So that square is just a symbol for a closed system. So the universe operates as a closed system of the highest excellence, where then error is excluded, evil is excluded. All this is we can see within divine, huh? It proceeds from God of its highest excellence. It maintains its inner integrity. Yes.
How did we get from science to divine science? What is the impulsion? If you have all in relation to itself.
I remember I said that it went from a nested hierarchy to a control hierarchy.
How or why would it need to go anywhere if it has that?
Because there's a belief that something else is going on besides God. The interesting thing is that there is a, you know where Mrs. Eddy says, sin existed as a false claim before the human concept of sin was formed. There's just a claim that the principle God can be reversed. It isn't so, but there's a claim that the pattern can be reversed. It's one of the big questions. Where did evil come from? Now, the point is that Mrs. Eddy says about it, we demonstrated away till it's finally a wrong question. That's hard for us at this point. So we have to deal with the question. But she says that once we demonstrate it away and consciousness is one with the infinite one, it was a wrong question. It never was there. All right, but we've got to deal with it. And it's annoying, but I have the same questions as you do. You know, what's that? Where did evil come from? If God is all in all, why does it allow it within its system? We just have to grow gracefully to the answers to this question. But within the being, we certainly see that the second record isn't a record by itself. It proves the truth of the first record by the very facts that it doesn't work, doesn't it? That whole second record ends into the land of naught. It's the equipollence of God. The allness of spirit, hence the unreality called God. They say, well, that God doesn't need error to explain itself. Well, these are all questions. We're on the brink of getting it together, aren't we? I mean, we're on the brink of understanding it. But but it's definitely a holistic system that doesn't allow for anything else besides itself. And in thy light, it only sees light. This is divine science. When Mrs. Eddy showed in that Genesis 1:2, it's so good in her exegesis, where in Genesis 1:1 she just shows, well, in the beginning was God, was without any beginning or end. It's just a holistic level system. But Genesis 1:2, where it says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. How does she solve that problem of Genesis 1:2 in the textbook? Well, when it's Genesis 1:2 comes against this absolute statement, in the beginning was the heaven and the earth, just all absolute, what Genesis 1:1. And then Genesis 1:2 is in darkness upon the face of the deep. How does she answer it? She says, divine science, the word of God saith to darkness upon the face of the deep. God is all in all, and the light of ever-present love illumines the universe. Hence the eternal wonder that infinite space is peopled with God's idea, reflecting him in countless spiritual forms. She doesn't argue with air. It doesn't exist. It's unknown. See? So it's somehow we have to maintain the integrity that it does, that in light there is no darkness. And the problem is we've got a time sense. To being, there's no time sense. The translation is simultaneous, remember? It's instantaneous. It doesn't take time. We think it's taking 7,000 years, but to being, it happens. There's just no time. If there's light, there's no darkness. Yeah, that's how it's explained. The dark goes. We're watching the dark go through a time sense. See? But it doesn't know anything but itself. So on the level of science itself, mind only knows mind. If it looks like there isn't congruency, it just is light. You see? There's just mind. There's just spirit. There's just soul. But this happens. And that looks like divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. And it's somehow, but if we can just keep that tonality, it will fall away. Mm-hmm. All right, so therefore it proceeds from, and then that sense of on this level is that principle and its idea is one, and this one is principle. Has it gone outside of principle being its principle? First we have on the level of science itself, principle is being its own infinite principle. It's just itself being itself. It's all within itself. Has it gone outside of itself with the tonality of this level when it says principle and its ideational universe is one and this one is principle? No. It's still principle operating principle. But it's operating itself. It's on another dimension. The operation takes on another form. And when we work on the law, it's going to be another form of the law. But it still remains within the womb of itself, within the self-containment, as Dick said. And therefore, it is a closed system. It's an operational loop of input, process, output, and feedback of the word Christ, Christianity, and science. So here we get the four come in to explain itself. But again, it's happening like this, isn't it? And first of all, it wants to say, I am the whole universe, which includes absolute Christian science and Christian science, the universe including man, and that I am a closed system. I'm not open, but on absolute Christian science, it's open within the closed system. It's open to infinite calculations. All right? So we see then that this becomes a principle and its idea, singular, isn't it? And this idea is one, and we know her play on the word is, in grammatically correct, it should say principle and its idea are one, but she says is one to say its principle and its idea is one, and this one is principle, maintaining the integrity. And therefore, the all hyphen in all. Now, look at your study aid and see if it happens to have the second all as a lowercase all. If it's a capital all, change it. The first study aids that came out, there was a typographical error. And it said all hyphen, the capital all hyphen in capital all. If it's there, change the second all. It should read capital all hyphen in lowercase all. All right? And does that maintain the integrity of the divine science level? Okay. Because why? Okay, we're on the divine science level, and we want to maintain the tonality of the divine science level. So we see now that principle and its idea is one. And this one is principle. It's talking about an operational sense of oneness in its infinite self-containment. And so does all in all stay with that tonality? Is it pantheism that the capital all is in all? Does Mrs. Eddy teach pantheism? We say no. Well, then, what does pantheism mean? Okay, good, Ellen. Ellen shows us the meaning of pantheism, that capital life God is in matter, or spirit is in matter itself, huh? That God is in a stone, God is in a tree, God is in man. Is that not our definition, is it? Yeah, she says, principle presents what we are as idea on page 115, and that idea exists. The idea exists in mind as an image in mind, but mind doesn't exist in the idea. So this all in all indicates a state of oneness through hyphens.
Well, if you take two words, say, and hyphen them, it's just one word.
It's one word. Good.
So that just makes it one word.
All right. So Mrs. Eddy using everything she can to get across this operational sense of oneness of divine science changed grammar to is. And the all in all, she put hyphens to indicate a sense of oneness. As Dave said, it brings it into oneness. So this level has to do with an operational sense of oneness where its inseparable union is going on between its idea. This is so important in our consciousness building and tonality building, consciousness building, being building of the levels. It's not the words we're after, it's consciousness. This is consciousness. On this level in the eight ordered steps to oneness with being is where we say, I mind, I spirit, I soul, I principle, I life, I truth, I love, where all sense of duality has been resolved. There's no more a sense between a subject and object. That's why it sends us to the science level in consciousness of the one ego infinitely being. This is the last time on the ascending way we can talk about duality. On the descending way, we say it's excluded. Okay? So, do we see? And do we struggle and ask ourselves these questions at home? In dealing with the study, okay, the Socratic method of, all right, so now we come to that tonality here, then that life, what is life doing here? Is life struggling with the concept of death? No, because it's life operating life, isn't it? Life is operating life, this is the law, out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for the glory of itself. Isn't that feedback loop that we've seen? All right? So it's just the 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Life never loses the quality of life. It can't know death. It's excluded. It's just operating itself. There's no possibility for death. Evil is excluded. The healing is instantaneous. On this level, Mrs. Eddy said that Jesus was at work, that Jesus was a natural divine scientist. To one born of the flesh, it must be a discovery. Jesus' consciousness was just life operating life, life operating out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for the glory of itself, and life was glorifying life. Could there be death to his consciousness? Jesus beheld in science life being life. And in that he saw the perfect man. And in this correct view, it healed the sick on lower levels. But the impetus for his healing is divine science. He had a consciousness of life being its own infinite life. Life on science itself. He had a consciousness of life being its own infinite life. And on divine science, that life is always operating out of its own self-existence, through its own channel. The outcome is always as its life itself, for the glory of life itself. No question of death could ever come in, could it? No wonder he said, Lazarus, come forth to my concept of life and forget your concept of death. Okay, well then I think we see that. And the demonstration is always then divine origin. Good, all right? Then we come to the absolute Christian science level. Okay, and I'll leave them up there now the way it is. And so we have an absolute, and it's not divine, from science itself to divine science, now absolute Christian. Are we happy with the terms absolute Christian? Okay, Gail, what would absolute mean there, Gail? What does absolute mean in that we're happy with it for the tonality of the next level after divine?
It's absolute because it doesn't have any...
All right, it's no negative, and that's the meaning of absolute. Absolute means pure, doesn't it? It means positive, pure, again, complete within itself. It's Christian. I think Dick Richard answered that. It's Christian, meaning Christian has its basis in the Christ, doesn't it, Richard? And does Christian always have to mean it's healing a negative problem? Christian means the Savior. But does the Savior always have to be healing a negative problem? No, the Savior can be in calculating in opportunities, as Gene says. So therefore, the Savior here is absolute Christ, which is operating in absolute pure values of opportunity as a calculus of ideas. Never leaves the calculus of ideas. And therefore, it holds down any latent possibility that the pattern can be reversed, doesn't it? If you're always operating in positive values, we're looking at the original pattern. We haven't yet gone outside of God, have we? It's been on the level of science itself, principle being its own infinite principle. On the level of divine science, it's been principle operating out of itself, through itself, the outcome as itself, for the glory of itself. Now, on absolute Christian science, absolute means that it's complete within itself, and its relationship is within the universe. Its relationship is to its ideas. Because we see that that one principle is dimensional. It answers the one and the many question. That one principle takes on many forms, many infinite individualities of that principle, yet still remains the one principle. It solves the problem of mysticism, of the one and the many. That within being itself, we don't get sucked up into an undifferentiated whole. So absolute Christian science allows for the possibility that infinite individualities exist within being as a calculus of ideas in an interrelation network related on love. So it still is within itself. Now, it's an open system. I'm going down to Christian science for a moment. I'll come back for the other chart. Now, in dealing, if let's go to the Christian science level now just quickly, and we'll carry it back after lunch because we're coming up on the break. On the Christian science level, does it mean therefore we're going to drop this absolute holistic reasoning of a principle just being within itself, on science itself, principle being its own infinite principle, on divine science, that principle operating principle out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for itself, and on absolute Christian science operating as a calculus of positive values? Now do we suddenly have to drop down to a relative and deal with a negative? No. And you know that's shown because of the levels itself. It's shown right here that it's the impact of the absolute on the relative. Mrs. Eddy said that Christian science isn't behind the point of perfection or advancing towards it. It's at the point of perfection. So when we see on the level of science itself and divine science, there are two lines between science itself and divine science. There are two lines between divine science and absolute Christian science. Are there two lines between absolute Christian science and Christian science? There's one. Do you think that Dorley and Kapler forgot it? No. It's because everything is absolute, complete within itself. It's only showing the impact of the absolute on the relative. But it never takes the standpoint of the relative. It shows the impact of the absolute system, holistic system of God in its translatability on the relative, but it never leaves the standpoint of the absolute. But it shows its impact. Do we see? Isn't that wonderful? We never go outside of the whole, ever. It's just wonderful. It is. It only shows the impact of the divine on the human, but it never takes that standpoint. It's always, Christian science is always complete within itself. As I said, Mrs. Eddy said, Christian science is neither behind the point of perfection or advancing towards it. It's at that point and must be practiced therefrom. It just shows impact.